Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Well, I've got a word on my heart for you today. Is that okay? And the title of my message is Embracing the Transition. Embracing the Transition. Now, we hear that word a lot, transition. And until I started to prepare this word, I had no idea what that word really meant. So I went to the English Cambridge Dictionary, and it'll come up in a minute. Okay, the English Cambridge Dictionary, all right? Now, we didn't use the English Cambridge Dictionary on the building site very much, all right, if at all. But it says this, a change from one form or type to another, or the process by which this happens. I don't know about you, but I don't really get that. I need a meaning for the meaning. So I've been trying to interpret what that really means. And so I went to another dictionary. That is the Mick Reeves Hillside Dictionary. Yeah. Yeah, you've heard of Hillside. It's famous for producing dictionaries. Well, not really, but I live there. All right. And let me give you my version. All right. It means this. And I'm not where I used to be. But I'm not quite where I'm supposed to be. Can anyone relate to that? Yeah. Let me help you out and become a little bit more specific, all right? Transition is where change happens. Transition is where alteration happens. And as the transition begins to play out in each of our lives, things begin to change. Things begin to get a little bit unsettled. And there's a change occurring and there's an alteration occurring that sometimes we really don't get. But I want to try and help you because you may find yourself in one of the following places that I'm about to talk about. You may find yourself in a strange place. Can anyone relate to that? You may find yourself in a difficult place, in an uncertain place, an insecure place, a stressful place. You may find yourself in a testing place. Is anyone experiencing any of that at all at the moment? Good. I'm not alone. That's great. And we're about to go to the last chapter of John. And as I read about the disciple Peter, I can't help but think that this man is in a state of transition. Okay? Jesus has died. He has been resurrected. But Peter is not in a great place. He's in a very difficult stage of his life. And because Peter's life at this moment is about to change and be altered forever. Altered forever. And for Peter, I am sure, church, that the word transition was not on his mind at this particular stage of his life. I would say the word shame and guilt would come to mind if I'm thinking about how Peter was feeling at that particular time. Most of you will be familiar with Peter's story. If you're not, I'm going to give you the lowdown, all right? He was one of the 12 disciples, and he was one of the key three disciples. So he was one of the big guys. Under pressure, he denied knowing Christ, who was his best buddy. He denied him. And then if that wasn't bad, he abandoned his Savior when he needed him the most, when he was hanging on that cross. It's not much of a resume, is it, really? See, transition can be the darkest and loneliest place, particularly when you don't feel the presence of God, particularly when you don't hear the voice of God, particularly when you don't feel like you're encountering God or you're getting any direction from God. But I am here to encourage you, church, that God has the ability to transition you from your deepest despair to your highest victory. Okay. God can do that. And so what we're going to do, we're going to go to chapter 21, John chapter 21, beginning at verse 1 and going through to verse 14. Is that okay? Yeah. Do you understand what transition means now? Yeah, it's an altering, it's a changing. If you feel that your world at the moment is a little bit upside down, that's okay, because God's doing something. He's doing something. He's taking you somewhere. He's not leaving you where he finds you. He's taking you somewhere. So it's okay. So hang on, we're about to go on a journey. The Bible says this. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. And this is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there, Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll all come too," they said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. And he called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. And then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord. It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and they pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were about 100 yards from the shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. And this was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. Now, as I read this, I really get the impression that Peter was walking backwards. He was going back in time. Peter went back to what he knew, fishing. But as we can see, the fish weren't biting until Jesus turned up. There was actually nothing going on. They'd been out all night. But he was walking backwards. See, failure can do that. Disappointment can do that. Uncertainty can do that. It can cause you to walk backwards. But church, can I encourage you, no matter what sort of season you're in at the moment, do not go backwards. There are no fish there. There is no future there. There is no joy there. There is no purpose there in walking backwards, going back to what is familiar to you, back to what you know. You won't find what you're looking for on that boat. Does that make sense? But can I suggest this to you? That there is purpose and there is blessing in your current transition, despite the uncertainty and the difficulty that you might be encountering at the moment. Now, like you, I have been listening to this wonderful alignment series all year. I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm excited to hear it. But I got to tell you, I have been challenged with some of the messages. And I have had, to be honest with you, I have had a hard time reaching alignment in some areas. I know I should be right up there because I'm a pastor, but I'm having a hard time getting aligned in certain spaces. And I've discovered very recently, church, that there needed to be an altering in me before there could be an aligning for me. Does that make sense? Because sometimes I find myself not in the right line to be aligned. Over this last week, I've been in a conference in the Gold Coast. Very, very tough to be at a conference in the Gold Coast. Not easy at all. Weather's about 26 degrees every day, and you know, you're going to the conference and you think, should I go to the beach or should I go to the conference? But I'm a good man, so I went to the conference. All right? Yes. And we would have our morning sessions where there was great teaching and just incredible ministry, and then we would be allowed to go for morning tea. And we would walk out of the auditorium into this incredible multi-purpose room. And there are people everywhere. There are food lines everywhere. And it's like, where on earth do I get into the line here? How do I get to the food? That's my main objective. How do I get to the food? And I didn't know where the line started or finished. And I could see the food. I could see these wonderful trays of beautiful meat pies. Lovely meat pies. And I'm thinking, my wife's not here, so I'm going to be able to eat these things. It's going to be good. And so I'm thinking I'm in the right line. I'm lining up, being patient, and the line is moving. Slowly, slowly it's moving. And then I get closer to the table, and I discover that I'm in the wrong line. I'm in the instant coffee line. Yeah, it was that bad. The instant coffee line. We know instant coffee's from the devil. I'm like, Lord, have I gone to the wrong place? And so I had to get myself in the right line so that I could get my hands on those beautiful meat pies. Johnny, you would have loved them. Johnny is a pie connoisseur, but they're the sort of pies that the pastry is flaky and it's real meat. Yeah, not like the stuff you get in the supermarket that has cardboard cut pastry and the meat is pretend. Yeah, this is the real stuff. And I got in line and I got the pies. And then 5 minutes later, I went back to the line and I got some more pies because my wife's not here. All right. Yeah. But church, sometimes I find myself in the wrong line when it comes to life. You know, so I really do. Sometimes that I'm in that wrong line of attitude. I'm in that wrong line of thinking, which is why change and alteration within me is necessary for me. I'm just preaching to myself this morning. See, Jesus wants to align you for breakthrough. He wants to align you, right, for the restoration. He wants to align you for the miraculous. He wants you to be absolutely smack in line so it hits you in the head, so you can't miss it. That's where he wants you to be. But he needs you to get in the right line to align. Does that make sense? Because this is what I've learned in this last season of my life. See, if there was one word to describe my season, it would be transition. But this is what I've learned. Transition alters our positioning. Something has to happen in us so we get in the right place, so that we're in line to receive everything that God has for us. See, Peter on that boat was like me in the wrong line. But then Jesus begins to turn up in Peter's life and to begin this incredible transition. Can I just give you three thoughts this morning? Is that okay? About embracing transition. Simply what I've learned out of this word as I've prepared it and as I've looked at it. Firstly, embracing transition is this. Embracing transition is letting someone point out Jesus to you. It's letting someone say, hey, I can see Jesus in your situation. And we see in the scriptures that John points out Jesus to Peter. You see, it's early in the morning and it's still dark. And Peter, he could see someone on the beach, but he didn't recognize Jesus. But John is able to say, hey, Peter, that's the Lord. Maybe you're in a place right now where your life feels like it's in a bit of darkness. You really can't see or understand what's going on in your life right now. Can anyone relate to that? I can see some hands there. You know, over the past few months, I've been transitioning into a brand new role here at Enjoy Church. And I now have the privilege of overseeing the care department. And Pastor Michelle, for many years, has led this department with such excellence and such brilliance. And it's a little bit like this. Many of you can identify with the fact that when you're given something precious, when you're given something of great value, you don't want to drop it. You know, it's a bit like your mum giving you your grandmother's vase and saying it's 300 years old, go over and put it on the table. And you're so worried about dropping that thing because apparently it came out on the first fleet. You know, apparently it's this priceless heirloom. You know, I mean, they probably bought it at the market or something, but you have this fear of dropping this priceless piece of artifact or whatever it is. And I've been a little bit like that. You know, I've inherited this incredible department led by this amazing woman, and I'm like, I don't want to drop it. I don't want to mess it up. And as much as I'm enjoying it, there's been some uncertainty within me that I carry it on, that I continue it on. And as much as I believe that Jesus is completely with me in all that I'm doing, at times I've lost sight of Jesus in this space, in my transition, in my difficulty, in my season, in my uncertainty. I've just lost sight of Jesus. I know he's there, but I just can't quite see him that clearly. But Pastor Michelle, she could sight him. She could see him. And she went about pointing out Jesus to me. Not on one occasion, but on three occasions. She's a little bit like the Lord. You know, the Lord turned up three times for the disciples. Well, Pastor Michelle turned up three times for me. And honestly, I needed to hear it three times. I did. because I didn't get it the first time. And she would come back and she'd go, hang on a sec. What are you thinking? Come on. This is where you're meant to be. And it was awesome. And it's exactly what I needed. And she reminded me in great detail that Jesus is very much in the middle of my transition. I just lost sight of him. That was the deal. Can I encourage the church to let those great people around you point out Jesus to you? Yeah. See, what gets in the way of me seeing Jesus is my pride. My name is Mick and I have a problem with pride. I do. Many times my Wednesday girl has pointed out Christ to me. And I'm like, oh yeah, whatever. I do, I have a pride problem. And many times I feel like I should have all this figured out. You know, I've been a Christian for 100 years, you know. You do. As a guy, you just seem to think you've got to have it all figured out. But we don't. We don't have it all figured out. I want to encourage you, church. Allow these wonderful people in your world to cite Jesus for you. See, transition does not mean independence, does it? We need each other to help us. We don't always see stuff. We have blind spots. The second thought that I have for you is this. Embracing transition is getting desperate for Jesus. Now, Peter, upon seeing Jesus, once he works out that it's Jesus, he's now desperate to reach Jesus. And so I know he's desperate because the Bible tells me that he put on his cloak or his tunic. I mean, these guys used to fish naked. Can you believe that? Fish naked. I mean, with those hooks and everything, man, that's... Oh. But they used to fish naked. So he put on his tunic and he jumps in the cold water. I've been to the Sea of Galilee. It is not warm. It is not like the Gold Coast. It's like Anglesey. It's like the Great Ocean Road. It's like the Antarctic. And you jump into this water, it is freezing. So Peter puts on this tunic and he jumps in the water and he swims a football field length to get to Jesus. So I know that man's desperate. He is desperate to get to Jesus. When you're in this place of transition, when everything is changing, when everything is altering, you've got to get desperate, church. You have to get desperate. When your world is upside down, you've got a choice. And we all have that choice. Am I going to stay worrying or am I going to get to some desperation? Am I going to get out there and go for it? Am I going to reach out for Jesus until I get to him? Am I going to do whatever it takes to get to Jesus? And that's all we have to do. I mean, how bad do you need Jesus to move into your transition right now? How bad do you need that miracle? How bad do you want that marriage to work? How bad do you want your children back in church? How bad do you want that breakthrough? We've got to get desperate, church. We have to get desperate. Sometimes, you know what, we go through these times of transition and it's like, I just want some answers. Why am I going through this? Lord, why are you putting me through this? What did I do wrong? You know, did I run over a cat or something like that? What did I do? And we demand clarity. We all want to know what's going on. Church, I want to encourage you to get desperate to who knows what's going on. Yeah, he's the one that's got it going on. Come on. That's all we need to do. Put on that clothing of faith. Get out of that boat of despair, right? And swim to the King. Swim to the King. What does desperate look like to you? Well, I'll tell you what it looks like to me. It's getting to church on time and getting down the front. That's what desperate looks like to me. Desperation looks to me like this, that when you're in worship, that the person next to you needs earplugs. Yeah. They're starting to move chairs because you are singing so loud. You're going off your nut. Lord, I love you. And I'm the worst singer in this place. But I'm going to shout the house down. I can tell you, when I am desperate to see God move, I am going to shout. If you want to move, that's okay by me. That's not a problem. But desperation is getting out of bed early enough to pray so you wake Jesus up. Yeah. You actually disturb him. Say, come on, Lord, wake up. I need my miracle. I need my breakthrough. I'm here. I need it. I want it. That's what desperation is. Do you know what I'm saying? You may not get all you're going through. Over this last 6 months, I have got very little of what I'm going through. But as I've begun to get desperate, you know what? God's starting to turn up. He's starting to turn up. And I don't get it all, but he's getting me through it. And I'm becoming an altered person. Yeah, a changed person. God's doing something in me. He's to the point where I'm starting to get lined up for that blessing. I've started to see God move in our lives. Yeah. There's purpose in the transition. I've got one more thought. Is that okay? I'm sure the keyboardist is going to come soon. Otherwise, I'll get Denny to get up and play it. You're a man of many talents. Yeah, absolutely. You can do it, bro. You can do anything. I'm looking forward to beating you on the golf course tomorrow. Yeah. You do have the crown. Till tomorrow. We had this competition going on, okay? Now, we normally allow Pastor Shane to win because we both want to keep our positions. And he gets the crown, okay? So, because he's not here, let me tell you the truth. All right. It's not about him being the better golfer. This is about survival for Danny and I. So hopefully this is not getting recorded. Otherwise, I'll be back on the tools on Monday, I can tell you. But my last thought is this. Is embracing transition means that you are wanted. You are wanted. I don't know, church, if there's anything more disheartening and deflating than feeling unwanted. I don't. I've never felt an emotion like it. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us specifically, but I'm really curious if Peter ever felt this way beyond the cross. I wonder if that emotion went through his mind. Well, I'm done now. How could any God want me after what I've done? You know, one of the most simple but powerful verses you will ever hear is when Jesus is standing on that beach and he says this. Now come and have some breakfast. I mean, it really sounds simple, doesn't it? But it's the invitation of a lifetime. Given what's just happened, Jesus is here and he knows what these guys have done. I mean, apart from John, they'd all scattered. And he's on the beach. He's prepared breakfast for them. And he says, come and have some breakfast. And I'm like, how do you do that with what these guys did? How do you do that? But that's the way the Lord works. That's kingdom thinking. See, inviting Peter and his buddies for breakfast, it really sends a clear message to us. It really sends a clear message to each and every one of you that you are wanted. You are wanted. Because that invitation was not just for Peter. That invitation is for each and every one of us. You are wanted. Now, life circumstances and life changes can often leave us believing that we are unwanted. You know, when something finishes, a position at work or a season, and you're like, you just get into this place where you feel unwanted. The offers aren't coming. There's this gap, this transitional time where it's like, it's just not happening. What's going on? And you feel unwanted. You feel worthless. It's just where it's at. But church, I believe that I'm here today to say to at least one person, your circumstances may say you're unwanted. Your mistakes may say that you're unwanted. Your past may say that you're unwanted. But Jesus, through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection, has already spoken above those things. You are wanted. You are wanted. Anna, you are wanted. Yeah. You are wanted. Gary, you are wanted. Ramel, you are wanted. Owena, you are wanted. Richard, you are wanted. Bindi, you are wanted. Mickey, my old mate, you are wanted. You are wanted. Lekin, you are wanted. Ayo, you are wanted. Mandy, you are wanted. You are wanted. Megan, you are wanted. David, you are wanted. Sedanka, you are wanted. You are wanted. You are wanted. Ryan, you are wanted. You are wanted. You are wanted. Is there any greater invitation than that? The one from Jesus Christ. The world will reject us. They will. The world will tell you that you're not wanted. But Jesus is saying to each of you today, no, I want you. And not only do I want you, you are exactly what I want. Come as you are. I'm not looking for perfection. I'm looking for your participation. You are wanted. You are wanted. Church, I want to say that with Peter. Before Peter denied Christ, he was wanted. And after Peter denied Christ, he was still wanted. He was never unwanted. No mistake you make, no change made for you, no shortcoming you have will ever cause you to be unwanted. Not in this place. He's not looking for that perfection. He just wants you. He just wants you as you are. Amen? He just wants you. Church, I'm going to pray for you right now. And I'm not sure where you find yourself. But I'm going to pray three things. I'm going to pray that you regain your sight of Jesus. That's what I'm going to pray. And secondly, I'm going to pray this. That you begin to get desperate for Jesus. That you begin to reach for Jesus. Some of you have been reaching for things and they're the wrong things. And I get it. We all do that. But I'm going to pray right now that you reach for the thing, and that is Jesus Christ. But so I'm also going to pray that you would be assured today that you are wanted, that you are priceless. Why don't I pray for you right now? Father, I thank you for these beautiful people. I thank you, Lord, because they are precious in your eyes. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you would help them, Lord, with where they're not seeing. I pray, Father, that you would literally put people around them who can point you out to them in this season of darkness, in this season of confusion, in this season of uncertainty. Father, I pray right now, Lord, I pray, Lord, that there would be a new desperation upon every believer here today. Lord, that there would be a new desire to reach you. A new desire, Lord, to get beyond the complacent. A new desire, Lord, to get beyond the depressed. A new desire, Lord, to get up out of that place that they've been and start to reach for you and swim for you. But I also pray, Lord, for a new assurance to come over every person here today. Lord, that they would know, like never before, that they are so wanted by you, that they are so treasured by you, that they are so valued by you. Today I pray that that assurance would hit their heart. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I just want to finish by asking a question. And today I want to speak to two groups of people. The first group of people that I want to speak to are those that don't know Jesus. You've never had a relationship with Jesus. And today I want to give you the opportunity to enter into a relationship. It is a relationship like no other. I don't know where you find yourself, but somehow you're here in this building, and I really believe that today is your day. The second group of people that I want to speak to are those that have known Jesus, but for whatever reason, you've ended up on that boat of despair and not that beach of hope. But today I want to give you the opportunity to get back on the beach and meet Jesus again and sit down and fellowship and commune with him again. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you to respond to this invitation, because today it's an invitation. Jesus is giving you an opportunity to respond and to get your life right with him. So in a moment, I'm going to ask those that want to respond to this invitation to put their hands straight up. And I'm going to see it. And then we're going to pray something very short, but very significant. And your life will never, ever be the same again. So if that's you today, if you're in that place where you don't know Jesus, but you realize now that you need to, today is your day. I want to encourage you. I want to say, put your hand up right now and I'll see it. If there's anyone else here that has been away from Jesus and you just feel you need to come back, why don't you put your hand straight up and I'll see it and I'll pray for you right now. I see that hand down the back. I think there's one hand. No, maybe that's not. That's okay. Is there anyone here today that's saying, I need to get back to Jesus? I see that hand. That's a great hand. Is there anyone else? Because I don't want to let anyone miss out here. Today is your day. Take up the invitation that Jesus is giving you. That's good. I see that hand. I think that's good. Well, why don't we give God some praise for those people that have put their hand up this morning. Well done. That is so good. Thank you, Jesus. What we're going to do right now is we're going to take you through a prayer of salvation. So after me, why don't you say this? Jesus, I accept your invitation. Thank you for rescuing me from my sin and mistakes. I declare today that I am a brand new person. And today is the beginning of a brand new life. And from this day on, I'm walking in freedom. Please come into my heart right now and deposit a gift in me to bless others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, church. God bless you.